Now there is the Paramahamsa 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 and the stage of the Paramahamsa Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Namah Koti Vaishnava Ki
Jai
Namah Chavaya Rasi Haridas Tur Ki
Jai
Preksh Krosi Krishna Chaitanya Prasuntanda Sri Abhuritra Shivasa Vihor Sri Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shankundara Kundi Vidyodaram Ki Shri Vrindavanam Ki Shri Mayurdam Ki Shri Jagatpuridam Ki Shri Radhakrishnanam Ki Shri Gaungamaya Shri Muramaya Ki Rasi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Samavit Patrind Ki Harinam Sankitam Yuram Ki Nittai Nittai Gopi Premanandari Ki Nam Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthaya Namaste Shri Mati Bhakti Granta Swami Tinamri Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Prachari Devi Se Sankara Prashtaja Vishadarine Om Ajandati Mandasya Vyanyana Sakya Chaturna Tamyena Tasmai Shri Gurudema Shri Rup Shri Saratam Bhattaragrat Shri Divakopala Padasarakrat Sattva Swami Ki Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Prasadi Gopala Vikrati Shri Nashinka Jayanasinka Jayanaya Narasinka Deva Kravdesha Jai Pappa Mukha Pappa Prindra Om Namo Bhagavate Narasinjaya Namaste Krishna Krishna Veda Veda Radha yesterday asked me to speak something about Srila Prabhupada. And I said to him, well, I feel qualified, but he don't do that. So I just surrendered to his request. I think to start with explaining a little how I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, I think that's the best. But, I never had actually personally, physically met Srila Prabhupada, but I joined the Hare Krishna movement in April 1977. So Prabhupada was still on the planet. And when Prabhupada was in England, the devotees in Amsterdam, that time was Dolchananda Swami, Dolchananda Prabhu was the temple president, and he decided to see Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees in the temple. So the plan was actually that on Saturday morning that all the devotees would take the bus and went to England. But at that time, of course, I was already in the temple. But before many things happened in my life, I wrote something in the Krishna Bhakti magazine about it. But my I started at when I was 22, I had a lot of frustrations met in my life. Of course, they were good for something, and something like that. Things are always good for something. So, the first time I met a devotee, that was in Rotterdam in 1977. Or maybe it was 1976, at a station in Rotterdam, and it was Ramaniya Mataji Prabhu. And see, I had a little discussion with her in front of the station, and I remember it was about vegetarianism. And one or the other, I liked her approach, it was not a deal with a good, I had a nice talk with him. And not so long after that, I met her again. And it was a different occasion because I went with two of my friends. I went then to the movie. I, of course, Saturday night, you do something, go to the disco or go to the movie. And so when I was walking in the direction of the central station, and two of my friends were on either side, and I was in the middle. So we were walking, and at a certain moment, Ramadhi appeared just in front of me. So and she tried to stop us, but my two friends, they just passed by her. So I could not. I was blocked by her. So then she said, I want to present you something, and she gave me a record, Hare Krishna Temple, and you remember that? I think it's a broken white cover, but then in the middle was like a little temple drawing with Hare Krishna inside. It was also the name of Vrindavan, also that. And she gave me a Bhagavad Gita, a British Bhagavad Gita in Dutch. And she asked for a donation. I said, well, I have bought so much, and I have only, and I showed some coins. In the back of my pocket, I had a note of 100 gil. I didn't want to break that, so. And I said, this is only I have, you know. It was 3 gil and 50 cents. It's like, I don't know how much, maybe.
A euro now.
€1 now. And I was surprised that he did it. He said, okay. So maybe because he had some faith in me, because we spoke already before, and I did not that I passed her by, this give her respect. And I, so the book was too thick for me to start to read. I was not a reader at the time. And I put it on the shelf in my room, and the record player, I had no record player at my home. So I was thinking my friend has a record player, because I did it with a hi-fi media. So I gave it to him. And at his home, he put on this record, and he himself, he was doing something in the kitchen that was not according to the four regular principles, frying something. And I put on the record, and then the record was playing. And at a certain moment, then the Hare Krishna mantra again. And it was so inspiring that I spontaneously started to dance. So normally when I went to a discotheque, I was always very shy. I never danced. I never before danced anywhere. So my friends had never seen me dance. So when he came in the room and he saw me dancing, he said, what are you doing? So he was very surprised. And I was doing good now. I said, I don't know. I said, there's music. That was the second time I met her. And in between, some things happened also before, but it's too long to tell. But the third time I met her, and she, it was very quick. It was on the Hula line, and they had to catch the train. So they just quickly give me company, and I just quickly give her a donation. And the other girl said, come, we have to go because we missed the train. So I took the Upanishad, and I started to read in the train. But it was so inspiring that I completely read it. So that before some things had happened, I probably it was because I had met her, that in between the time of the Upanishad and her first meeting, I got some Brahman realization in the forest in Rotterdam, in the park. For the first time, I got out of my body. And the thing that I said, when I thought, when I was, say, realizing I was not that body, was either this life has a deeper meaning, or I'm going to finish it. Because what is the use of struggling for 70, 80 years, and not knowing why? I have already struggled 22 years. And said, what is the use of keeping this body? And there's no higher purpose. So, and I had to read two books before on the inspiration of two fishers. I was looking to two fishers who were fishing in the canal in Rotterdam. And then suddenly one of the fishers starts that he started to quote some philosophers, and then one he said once that he said this guy, he said that I know that I don't know, but they don't know. So I'm looking at that, that woke me up something. I was thinking, maybe I should also read some philosophy books. So I went to the library and I took two books. One book was of Krishnamurti, and the other of Inder Khan, a Sufi mystic. So because I read these two books, I knew that when I want to know the purpose of life, because before nobody had ever told me, I asked some person who I trusted, what is actually, who am I, what is my goal, why I need to know that. So then I knew I had to go to India in order to know the truth of life. And so I gave up my room and I took my backpack and I was ready to go to India. So then the third time I met Ramaniya and she gave me this Upanishad and I read it in one time. So, and on the end I put the book on my chair with this picture of Vishnu and I offered my obeisances as the devotees do in the temple spontaneously. So I understand that the life is for a surrender to God, and so I get all the answers. So I was at that moment I was thinking, I don't have to go anymore to India. India has come to me. I don't have to go anymore. So I read the address of the Amsterdam temple, and then the next week I joined the temple. Yanarasi was the Bhakti. So when I, in that, the voice who know the Herengrat, when you enter inside, you have it, the offices were down, and you have the stairs upstairs, and then you come to the temple room. So when I was guided towards the temple room, and they opened the doors, and at that moment, all the devotees, they put their obeisances. So they were saying the prayers, and so I said, yes, here I belong. Because I did the same spontaneously, I took back, and this is the... So then I stayed there. And of course, because I was completely in ignorance, because I never had some philosophy books. From my 6 to my 16, I was going to the church, but it was not very clear to me what was the meaning. I didn't understand anything. So after that, I had some years of doing what I want, and then so we came to that point to frustration and to look for the truth. And so then I was in the temple with Yagaraj, and it was in the evening, so they gave me some prasadam, and I was thinking, why he is not asking me to stay? And I was waiting, and he didn't say anything. So then I said, I have lost myself. So, and I asked myself, can I stay here? He said, yes, of course you can stay. So they put me in the bathroom, that the next level they have a brahmana, room for brahmanas, and perform for bhaktas, a small room. They handed me over like a mat, a little mat to sleep on, and a sleeping bag. That was the whole thing. So when I lay down, then I closed my eyes, and then at a certain moment the voice came in my mind, Seva, Seva. The book did word Seva, service, service, service. And I realized, yes, that is what I have forgotten. That I have to serve. I want to be enjoy, I have to serve. So then about a few months I was in the temple, and then Lord Chinnamani told us, we go to England to see Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. And it's a pity, but it's like there's also some stories in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that some of the devotees, they always miss out. They miss just this after. Because I was just a little too late, like you saw. So tomorrow, this morning, I tried to be at time. But the reading was sometimes that you have to wait a little first. So, on that Saturday morning, then Prabhupada was in England, Maharaj, you will remember. Then we got the message, Prabhupada has left for India, he has gone back to India. So Of course, I was not conscious at all what I missed out at that time. So the trip was over. So we would not see Srila Prabhupada. And it was his last time when he came to the West. And that's again when we were afraid of, unfortunate when we think back now, but also it has some purpose. Everything has a meaning, everything has a purpose. So it should be good for something. And I can understand, I can guess what it was. because to be a disciple, Srila Prabhupada, a daring disciple, if you understand Prabhupada's position, is something very rare. And there's a danger to get proud. And in my situation of fully, completely in English, I maybe would have built an extra false ego about that. So in order to be like a direct discipleship, you have to first of all be qualified, and also we have to be very humble. So that qualities I had not at the time. So therefore we are here to develop these qualities. But I also say that maybe it comes a little strange. There's also no monopoly on Prabhupada's disciples of having met Srila Prabhupada. It sounds a little strange, but there's no monopoly, because what counts is qualification and surrender. Because Prabhupada is not like a worldly person. Prabhupada can appear anywhere and everywhere. So once I had a dream, and that made me clear also why I was not qualified to serve Prabhupada, to see Srila Prabhupada. That there was I had a dream many years ago, and Prabhupada had a headache. So and Prabhupada was sitting there, and I asked Prabhupada, "Can I massage your neck so maybe then the headache will go away?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Do that." But it didn't work out. He said, "You get some medicine." So I went upstairs. Then I found myself on the second floor here in Radesh. And Parishat was there. And I went to the cupboard where is the medicines. And then Parishat opened the cupboard. He said, "Look." He said, "Look, the sweets, all the sweets." And there were all others there piled up. And I started to eat the sweets. And I completely forgot Prabhupada. So I woke up shocked. I said, "Now I understand why Prabhupada has a headache." Because of my unsurrenderedness. So it was a revelation that brought me to the ground. But at the same time, it's a great mercy. I understood it's a great mercy that Prabhupada appeared in a dream. So, in that sense, Prabhupada can appear in anybody's dream at any time. It's a question, and I heard many devotees have such kind of experience. Even some people who are even not joined the movement, but are outside, some parents of some persons, they got away and they get a manifestation of Prabhupada in their dreams. So with that thing, it's also meeting Prabhupada. It's not different from seeing Prabhupada in a dream or in real, because the thing is the same. Prabhupada is Prabhupada, he is absolute. So there, I think I said actually there is no monopoly on Prabhupada only for us. Prabhupada is for everybody. And he is not limited to any person or any caste or creed or so by being in this movement and reading Prabhupada's books, because I got very much attached to Prabhupada's books, because I had so many doubts, because of my ignorance. And every time when I had a doubt in Amsterdam, I went to Ayeshwara, he was on the top translating books, and I asked him my questions. And once I had a doubt that my then Guru Maharaj, it said that the pure devotee is always the powers. So I went to my Sangha leader and I said, Well, he said, I said, I heard that the pure devotee, yeah, our guru, he has all the mystic powers. So, can he walk over water? That was my question. And we could not answer the question. But the next morning, in the class, you know, then our guru at the time, Madhavan, class, he immediately, in between, said, yeah, he said, some of my disciples, they asked if I can walk over water. Yeah. And he said, yes, I do it every day in the shower. That was it. So I got very much attached to have this connection with Prabhupada by reading his books, and even that time my friend, that time Guru Maharaji fell away, so I felt I still have a connection with the Supreme Guru Krishna through Srila Prabhupada. So I got very much attached to reading Prabhupada's books. And so in that way I also a lot of association. And Prabhupada said also, you can also learn to know me by reading my books. Because there's one thing, it's seeing physically, but to understand Prabhupada, you have to hear from him. You have to hear. And he said, you know, when you hear me, you can learn me how I am and what I am by reading my books. So I feel very fortunate to have read most of Prabhupada's important books, like Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion. And one thing I realized myself, and that is that Prabhupada, he is not only the founder Acharya of the Hare Krishna Society, but Prabhupada is actually the founder Acharya of a whole new world. In that his books are like blueprints for the new world. And he said also, these books will be law books for the next 10,000 years. And I believe this knowledge has the potency to purify everybody from this false ego. And this false egotism. So, I'm very happy that I can serve Prabhupada one way or another in my position in his movement. And I'm always happy again to stand in front of Radha Gopinath on Janmashtami. And I'm very happy that one year more I'm part of Prabhupada's movement. I'm very grateful, and for me, next to Radha Gopinath and Gopinath, Prabhupada is number one in my life, and I hope he will be always like that. And whatever happens, and I think also that the Hare Krishna movement, as a founder Acharya Sri Prabhupada of this movement, he should be always in the center. Like the founder Acharya of the Benedictine monks is Benedictus. And all the people who come after Benedictus, they teach their followers the teachings of Benedict. And in the Franciscan monks, they teach the teachings of Saint Francis. So in Islam, the Prabhupada is the founder Acharya. So all the teachers who come after him, I think they have the duty and the task to teach the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. It's very simple. And in that way, he always be the founder Acharya. And like I said, not only of our movement, but he is the founder of the whole new world. And I think that is, I have that great faith that that Prabhupada will become the center of the world of society. Okay, I'll leave by here because I have on 1.5 hours. That will be it. Oh, okay.
No problem. If there's something more to tell, you can continue. We can go in lower stage.
I'll leave that. I'll leave also some to the eyes. Thank you very much. Europa ki jai, Vaishnava ki jai, Itai Itai Gorda.
Ki
Jai.
At best, 10 days or 12 days before the Vyasa Puja Day, I'm reading this book, Srila Prabhupada Tributes. And I thought that I'd read a few of the highlights. But here in some of the highlights, you'll get a picture of some of Srila Prabhupada's interactions with people. On the 11th of September 1969, George Harrison, John Lennon, and Yoko Ono had the unique opportunity of receiving your divine association. At that meeting, you told the young lads that there is music in the spiritual world. And then you proceeded to chant verses in Sanskrit, beginning with Nante Vidu Svartagatam Bhishma. The curious part of this particular meeting is that while you were chanting these verses, nobody, neither the devotees nor the guests, the distinguished John Lennon and George Harrison, knew what you were singing about. I bet the rock stars present in that room must have had serious difficulty relating to your singing of these verses. although you had just told them that there is music in the spiritual world. Much later, the Bhagavatam came out, and only then did we understand the meaning of what you were singing. You were singing three verses from the seventh canto from the Kingdom of Bhagavatam, in which Prahlada Maharaj addresses his father, Hiranyakasipu. Verses Prabhupada spoke to the Beatles. Were these verses? Prahlada Maharaj said, because of their uncontrolled senses, people who are too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew what has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. So in Sanskrit, Prabhupada was telling John Lennon and George Harrison that some people are making progress toward hellish conditions. And then he continued saying that people who are blind are led by another blind man, and they make progress only toward the ditch. They fall into the ditch when they're led by a blind person. And then the third verse, the solution, unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnava, completely free from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet in the world. The Son of Prabhupada was inspired to say those verses to the Vedas. This was brought up by Habidas. Habidas is a musician from South America. He's won many awards and he creates nice transcendental music. This is an offering by a devotee named Narahari Das. I don't know him, but he says that in August 1975, Srila Prabhupada came to San Diego and stayed at his house for 2 days. On the morning of his departure, his servant called me to the kitchen and said that he had some prasad manava from Srila Prabhupada. He gave me the most delicious out of this world puffed rice. Along with the rice, there were sunflower seeds, and the rice had been cooked in turmeric and other spices, so the rice looked yellow. When I went over to my bedroom, I found that Prabhupada had also left me a few other things. One thing was some eucalyptus twigs that he had chewed the ends of, and he had used them as a toothbrush. There were some funny moments because I had tried to collect some items that were mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's books about how to greet a Vaishnava personality when he arrives at your home. One of the items described was fresh cut grass mixed with yogurt, which was usually sprinkled in the path of Vaishnavas. I sprinkled this on the sidewalk on the pathway to my house as Prabhupada arrived. He looked at this and he avoided stepping on it. I had collected things to make his stay pleasant. I stayed up all night making him a table that wouldn't slide when he put his feet on it, because I heard that he liked to put his feet on the table sometimes. Invited up Sachinandana, Swami's brother, his older brother. Vaidyanatha lives in Hamburg, and in his offering he notes that now he's retired from his job, and he can improve his service, he can spend all his time in Prabhupada's service now. He says, as part of my service, I sometimes have to write obituaries for my deceased godbrothers and godsisters, and while I do so, I think about what will be written about myself once I leave my own body. And will I think of Krishna at the time of death? He says, now I have withdrawn from the battlefield called employment for maintaining my family. So more and more I see the obstacles in devotional service are not so much outside me, but in my own heart, in the shape of the enemy's lust, anger, greed, and so on. For advancing in your service, I'm extraordinarily grateful for the assistance of my godbrothers who are still alive. He has one good friend in particular in Hamburg who's been there as long as he has. They're very good friends. One devotee wrote an offering about leadership I don't know this devotee, David Dharma, but he listened to some points about leadership that he read about in a book on leadership, and he spotlighted how Srila Prabhupada demonstrated some of these qualities. I'll just read two or three. One principle is leadership is action. Leadership is not position. Leadership is action, not position. So he wrote, from the beginning you instructed us to be always active in Krishna service. You yourself were engaged 24/7, sleeping only a few hours every night. And our days as young devotees were always full from 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. Next principle. Good leadership consists in showing average people how to do the work of superior people. Most of us, Srila Prabhupada, were just ordinary people, but by your grace we have seen so many devotees perform extraordinary activities. Devotees who were not even so articulate or well spoken became scholars and teachers. Some who were shy could now address big audiences or sell hundreds of books. Your mercy is all that we made of. One more principle, the function of leadership is to produce more leaders, not more followers. This was your focus, Srila Prabhupada, most of the time. You were not after millions of followers, you wanted first-class men, who would in turn create more first-class men. The path to the heads of society, and fortunately you now have so many first-class devotees pushing on the mission. One of my best sisters is named Madan Mohan Mohini. She is married to Shivananda. Shivananda is the first devotee I met in Europe. I was in Germany in Heidelberg one summer after I completed college, and I got an invitation to the preaching center in Heidelberg. And I was really lucky that Shivananda was there, because he was able to give a class in English at the Sunday feast. There were three guests at the Sunday feast, me and my two friends from America. All three of us spoke English, so he spoke in English. I didn't meet Madan Mohan Mohini then, but later they got married. And she's writing about Lord Jagannath, who's on our altar. She's writing about the installation in Amsterdam in 1972. She was witnessing it. Another devotee and I stayed up all night the night before the installation and made an outfit. We tiptoed through the room where the brahmacharis were sprawled out across the floor sleeping to get to the sewing machine in the corner of the room. As we sewed, we watched a few rats jump over the snoring bodies, but kept on going so that we could finish. I was really in anxiety, not because of the rats, but because I thought that if you saw Srimati Subhadra's skirt, which was just a plain navy blue cloth with only enough trim to go three quarters of the way around, not all the way, you would be very upset. I didn't feel it was anywhere near nice enough, and I couldn't imagine what you would think or say when you saw it. So the next morning I went into the temple room a little bit worried. We were all cramped inside the temple room. It was very small, but we were so blissful to be with you, Srila Prabhupada, and watch as you took part in the ceremony. In those days, the temple rooms were always packed. There were always so many of us, but we didn't care. We were too blissful to notice the crowding. During the ceremony, several things happened that displeased you, and you became angry. I mentally cowered in the corner and went through the crack between the wall and the floor. Feeling your wrath to be like that, the Lord restrained it. I was thinking I had something to do with your displeasure. For not having made the skirt as nice as it could be, but then I realized that your anger was directed at a couple of other devotees. Relieved, I began to think over what had just happened. And I began to realize that you were teaching us how to care for the deities. The main thing I learned from you was that the deities must always be taken care of, and everything must always be first class. This is a little description by Arundhati Devi Dasi, of her personal dealings with Prabhupada.
Pradyumna's wife.
Yes. Pradyumna's wife. Pradyumna was the traveling secretary, the Sanskrit secretary. He helped Prabhupada with Sanskrit translation. You literally handed Krishna to me in the spring of 1969 when you came to New York City. Some of us devotees would have darshan in your apartment above 26 Second Avenue. You asked a servant at that time, Purushottam Das, to see if there was someone who wanted to bathe and dress your deities. I jumped at the opportunity and said, "Oh, I'll do it, Srila Prabhupada." You said, "All right, come tomorrow morning." So I came to your room and we sat down on the floor in front of your small brass deities, Bada Govinda. You had Purushottam make a paste of tilak and tamarind. You took Srimati Radharani and covered her with the paste. Then you took a cloth and polished her form until the paste was removed and she was all shiny. You put her back and then took Krishna, handed him over to me and said, "Now you do, Krishna. I received the Lord from your lotus hands and by the paces you washed and proved. As I started rubbing Krishna's body with cloth, you then went back to your asana. I rubbed and rubbed, thinking that I could not get Krishna shiny enough. At last you said, 'Yes, that's enough. Now you come back each day and do this.' And so I did, in New York, Boston, and then in Columbus, Ohio. Next, in the mid-1970s, you came to Los Angeles. Pradyumna was traveling with you at the time, and you were not in good health and had no appetite. You were barely eating. One day, to help increase your appetite, one of your disciples made a big feast. You made samosas yourself with the assistance of Pradyumna. I knew the situation, so I decided to make you some pineapple chutney, and I brought it to your quarters. When it was time to eat, you ate only the samosas and the chutney, and you said, 'This pineapple chutney has saved my life.' This message was related to me, and of course, I was ecstatic to hear that you enjoyed this humble offering and that it gave you an appetite. I wish I could remember exactly how I made it. All I remember is the pineapples, plenty of sugar, and green chilies, human seeds, and most of all, a strong desire to please you. You showered me with your infinite grace by your acceptance and pleasure. Afterwards, you had the servants distribute the wonderful pea and cauliflower samosa prasadam to the devotees. One or two more One of my best sisters is named Kanchan Bala. She and her husband live in San Diego. They've been married for a long time. They've been around since the early 70s. Just one paragraph from her opening. One day on the morning walk, Srila Prabhupada and his young devotees walked by a convalescent home as a home for old people. A woman in her late 80s, maybe, approached Srila Prabhupada, starting a regular conversation. She told Your Divine Grace about what had happened throughout the years of her life and the pain she was going through now. Srila Prabhupada, you did not shun her or instruct her, but listened and spoke with her. At the end, she said goodbye and wished you the best of luck. You in turn said, I wish you the best of luck. Such profound mercy as she unknowingly had association with Krishna's pure devotee, and you bestowed your blessing on her. I think I'll stop there. There's one more offering I can mark, but to really appreciate it, you have to read the whole thing. I don't want to just read to you. It gets a little tiring if someone just reads to you. Okay? Thank you very much.
Everyone like to stand up for a couple of, you know, for a few seconds. Get a little stretch.
I'll get this changed.
Okay.
What are they doing? It's a shake.
Whoever likes to sit down, you can also sit down. Om Agyasandasyagyanjanasvataya Chaktur Mlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Rave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Oramani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashtekya Deshtatarane. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it said, Acharyamam Vidaniyam Nava Martika Karishit Sarva Bhunya Suyeda Sarva Deva Maya Guru. And then the next verse is Shiksha Guru Ke Tajani E Bhakta Sarup Krishna Sarup Andaryami Bhakta Shesta E Guru. So this describes the initiating spiritual master and the instructing spiritual master. And Prabhupada makes some distinction and also gives us the similarities between the two. But ultimately, Andriyami, Bhakti Shesa, Devi Guru, ultimately they were both representatives of Krishna. But in the second verse, which we'll go over, which is dealing with the Shiksha Guru Ke, Ta, Jani, Krishnara, Guru. So I want you to know Shiksha Guru Ke, I want you to know the Shiksha Guru. Ta, indeed, Jani, I know, Krishnara of Krishna, Guru, the form of Krishna. Antaryami, the super soul, Bhakta Shrestha, the best of all the devotees, a guru. They're both the form of Krishna. And the Purport Prabhupada says, that one should know that there's no real difference between the instructing spiritual master and the initiating spiritual master. Krishna is appearing at both. But there are also two types of instructing spiritual masters. One who is actually situated in transcendence and sees everything objectively. And the other one is one who gives relevant instructions in order to awaken the Krishna consciousness in others. But then Prabhupada says, the acharya, in the true sense of the term, is authorized to deliver Krishna, originates a disciple with full spiritual knowledge, and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. So this is quite profound, because in the previous verse, acharyam, vidanyam, nava, martita, kari, chet. I want you now to consider the spiritual master to be an ordinary person. And then at the end of the Prabhupada's purport there, Prabhupada says that the spiritual master, he said by acharyas, either to be a confidential associate of Srimati Radharani or a representative of the Nityananda. So those two positions are not ordinary. So we have, on one side we have the absolute, just like Prabhupada, we're honoring Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya, etc. Not so much simply his position, but as an actual person who is on the objective platform of transcendence. Which means that he saw everyone and everything as not different from Krishna. Simultaneously one and not different from Krishna. He was one who was perfectly situated in transcendence, feeling the separation of Krishna in the same exact mood as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. And therefore, perfectly understood, the purpose was to come to that platform of feeling constant separation from Krishna while engaged in devotional service, specifically worshiping Krishna and spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. On the other hand, the air probably has his representatives, which happens to be all of us, whether we recognize it or not. It's not that we perfectly represent Prabhupada, but to some extent, if we're repeating his message, the message coming from Krishna in the civil succession, then to some extent we become a representative of Srila Prabhupada. And then we can actually understand what it means that Prabhupada was a representative of his spiritual master. If we think there are certain devotees within the society who are supposed to deliver everyone else, and that we're the ones who are supposed to be delivered, then we'll probably want to understand what it means to be a representative of Prabhupada. And if we don't do that, then we want to understand what it means that Prabhupada was a representative of his spiritual master all the way in civil succession. For instance, if one is preaching, then one may, or even if one is not preaching, in some way or another, by good fortune, one is sufficiently absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then one can actually see oneself as a soul, and one can see the activities of the body as being directed by the spiritual energy. Of course, the activities of the material body, and the activities of the material mind, and the activities of our intelligence, are never actually directed by ourselves, although we may imagine like that. As a matter of fact, that's what material life means. It means we're simply imagining that we're the doer, and that we're the whatever. We're imagining so many things. But it's just imagination. It's not that nothing's going on, but what we think is going on is not what's going on, that's all. But actually, the activities can either be directed by the spiritual energy, or the material nature, or a combination of both. Of course, for a devotee who's following the instructions, his activities are being conducted by the spiritual energy, although his consciousness may not be completely in the spiritual energy. And because the activities of the devotee are being directed by the spiritual energy, we should understand that he's representing Krishna. Especially when the devotee is repeating the actual instructions coming into simple succession. And the proportion that one is actually following, to that extent that one is actually conscious of Krishna, and by being conscious of Krishna, one can understand the science of Krishna consciousness, and therefore the instructions become more powerful, because they're given with more profound understanding. Therefore, the honor of Śrīla Prabhupāda, as Prabhupāda said in one of Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati's disappearance days, is not simply with flowers and nice talk. It means that each one of us have to become a preacher. Of course, being a preacher is not simply to sit in class and tell everyone what to do. No, becoming a preacher means that we have to have a desire to help others become conscious of Krishna. That has to be one's mission in life, as to help others. And others means that Yari Deva, Yari Kava, Krishna Upadesh, Amara Adai Guru Manakaradesh. Whoever we meet, it's not that only what we meet some submissive bhakta, then suddenly we become a preacher, telling them exactly what to do. Wash your hands, Prabhu. Don't put your foot there. Put it there. Oh, there. No. See, this poor condition. So, that may not even be preaching, actually. Preaching means to actually want to help others revive their relationship with Krishna as their servant. Gopi Bharata Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. That the Dhani Guru Yoga Dhanapur is really the intelligence how to actually become the servant of the servant of the servant and help others become conscious of Krishna. This is our eternal position. As it says, Prabhupada in those purports, that actually the position, eternal position of the spiritual master is in his relationship of service to Krishna, and to help others revive their relationship with Krishna. So that's our meditation. If we become serious about that, then we actually become a representative of Prabhupada, and then we can understand how actually empowered Prabhupada was. Sometimes that's like a book distribution. People want to hear stories after the devotees come back. Can you tell us some stories, Prabhu? Similarly, in relation to Prabhupada, everyone's asking, can you tell us some stories? As if Prabhupada's life was divided up into stories. Actually, or as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, even if Ananda with his millions and unlimited heads, which would try to describe one moment in the past life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it would take him an unlimited time to do that. But we can try to derive the essence that Prabhupada, whoever he met with, not only the devotees, but even, for instance, Prabhupada sometimes being interviewed by reporters. And what was noticeable, because I've had the opportunity to be with Prabhupada a number of times, but even if we didn't see him personally, directly, even just watch the movies, Prabhupada took equal attention to the, gave equal attention to the reporters, and appeared that Prabhupada was not simply giving an interview many times, but he was also trying to explain Krishna consciousness personally to the person he was speaking to. Of course, we can see, as I saw it, because I had the opportunity to do with Prabhupada during a number of darshans he was given, deal with me. And not everyone was equally receptive, but Prabhupada was able to appropriately convey the message of Krishna consciousness. Why? Because Krishna, he wanted to help everyone he came in contact with, specifically to become Krishna conscious, and Krishna gave him the knowledge how to do it appropriately. But that was for everyone at every moment. And we learn from that that we'll also, that we can take seriously, and then we can try to become also act appropriately under different circumstances, and learn the science of Krishna consciousness specifically so we can help others become Krishna conscious, and that way ourselves become conscious of Krishna. That's the shortcut. Of course, one has to also follow sadhana, because sadhana specifically is meant to help deliver us. So we're, as Prabhupada said, the Red Cross and so many other institutions are glorified because they're helping others. But actually, the most important thing is to give transcendental knowledge. But he said, higher than that, the highest thing of all is first of all to save ourselves. Unless we can become an instrument for Krishna by following the process given by Srila Prabhupada in my initiation letter. I was initiated by mail. And Prabhupada said, you're right, we're all conditioned souls trapped by the illusory energy. So please try to take this Hare Krishna movement seriously. Krishna is giving an opportunity by this chant of Hare Krishna to become free from the illusory energy. And so please take assistance from Prabhupada, who said, because Prabhupada should learn to delegate in the future. So, first of all, our first job is to chant our rounds very nicely, but at the same time, we have to keep conscious that Krishna has a mission. And that mission is manifested through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and further manifested by our parampara, and it's being manifested as this ISKCON mission. And we're taking part in offering some service, even by glorifying the work, this mission with our words, offering some practical service, with our intelligence, or offering some wealth, or surrendering and trying to do whatever is necessary to help others become Krishna conscious, then the result is that proportionally Krishna will reveal himself. And revealing himself means that we'll find out about Prabhupada also. We may have gotten glimpses of Prabhupada. I mean, as I said before, it's also nice to get some glimpses, or to even hear about the glimpses, because it gives us a little bit of insight what the threshold of bhakti is like. Prabhupada uses that term, threshold of bhakti. In material existence, we're actually practically dead, or our existence is quite dull, and therefore we're always feeling like something's lacking. Well, it is. Life is lacking. That's real life is lacking. If we're feeling dissatisfied, that's the sign of some intelligence, because we're lacking actual life. But at least, if we're sincere, then somehow or another, some life will be revealed to us. But not only by Prabhupada's personal association. I was in Boston in 1969, along with other devotees from my temple. We went there. Prabhupada was coming, so I remember he was walking up the steps, as I said before. Boston Temple was on Beacon Street. And Beacon Street, they had just moved in. The press was there. They had just had the deities. And then his wife, Rukmini Devi Dasi, was Pujari. And Prabhupada's little deity. I believe it was Prabhupada's. They looked like Prabhupada's deity. Prabhupada showed me his deity. And asked me what I thought about it. So, I couldn't see them because at that time I needed glasses. But I figured they probably looked pretty good. So I said, oh, they're very nice Prabhupada. And Prabhupada smiled. Oh, that's good. I like his deities. It would have been quite strange if I said, well, I don't know Prabhupada. Maybe you should get some new deities. And I remember Purdue walking in the I was ahead of Jar because I didn't know exactly what Krishna was. So I was ahead of Jar. I would have looked like my deities there. That's when I asked Prabhupada, who's Lord Jagannath? He said, he's Krishna.
Oh,
that's good. Because I didn't know he was worshiping Krishna. Vrindavan were walking in the play. It was dirty, Prabhupada did the play. I didn't even know it was dirty, but I was to go wash it, it's dirty. So then I know I should watch the play every day. This is my instruction for Jagannath at that time. In any case, Prabhupada was coming. And I remember they were saying the picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has his arms outstretched like this. If you go to the Boston Temple now, you'll see it. In the back of the Sankirtan movement, the Sankirtan devotees. And suddenly he started to glow. I said, well, that's pretty unusual. I didn't see the picture glow for some time. And then Prabhupada walked up the steps, and the whole temple turned into Vaikuntha. And then Prabhupada sat down to Vyasa's son and he took a look at me and I could see, he could actually see myself as a spiritual soul. And throughout the whole time Prabhupada just talked about Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, it was his disappearance day at that time. It wasn't even recorded, there were many recordings that weren't made at that time. But it was like, it was quite a transcendental experience. But then again, I've had other transcendental experiences also. I remember one time I was in, they asked me to go to the San Antonio Airport, which was illegal. I never liked illegal spots. To distribute books, although that 99% of the time I was in an illegal spot. Later on we got legal spots. There's always, he had half an eye on the people coming out of the supermarket or whatever it was, and the other half looking for the security. In any case, this was a completely illegal spot. It was an airport that wasn't open. And they asked me to do it, so I agreed. So I was so intense. I mean, I never experienced myself so intense. It was so intense, I was simply walking up to people and handing them the book, without saying a word, they took out their wallets and gave me a donation. I said, wow, we should put the sushi in poopy like this every day. I went back to the San Antonio Airport after that, and it wasn't like that, and I thought they got caught. In any case, it's simply, of course, that, in association with Prabhupada, that was, I mean, my association with Prabhupada was similar to that many times. Sometimes I remember I was listening to Prabhupada's class and I couldn't stay away. My heart, I just felt like Indra just struck me with a thunderbolt and Maya was saying, yeah, you're wounded, go to sleep. And other times I was completely in bliss. You know, it was a completely transcendental experience. Sometimes I saw her on morning walks with Prabhupada. Some of my godbrothers, they treated Prabhupada so familiarly, they said, wow, this is completely wrong. Although Prabhupada reciprocated with them, I felt like, at that time, tripping them. But the same thing is there now. Just like Prabhupada is present, he's present in his instructions, he's also present as his murti form. And he's also present as his representative of the devotees. It's simply a question of how serious we take our association with any one of those forms, especially with the instructions, because by the instructions, we can learn how to appropriately honor the other devotees also. Honor the deities, honor the Prabhupada's form as the murti. So the instructions are what's emphasized. And the examples are there so we can appreciate them. But they're not meant for Prabhupada was a pure devotee, and therefore he was in Vaikuntha, and we have a nice opportunity to enjoy hearing about his activities. It's not meant for that. It's meant as instructions for us. Of course, appreciation will be there also. But appreciation ultimately means at every moment to ultimately enter into the spiritual realm of consciousness. I remember one of my godbrothers, who's quite prominent in our society, And I've always had the service within our ISKCON movement of being like, you know, ISKCON policeman. Somewhere another thought, Krishna always gave me that service. Whenever there was any trouble practically within ISKCON, I was always there for some reason or another. In any case, as usual, especially after problems, you know, when I was a temple president, I had a small realm, more or less, supervising. But later on, after Prabhupada's disappearance, and somewhere or another, I started to get more and more services of overseeing others. So I was in one such situation, and I remember there he was chanting his rounds, and I was listening attentively to his rounds and criticizing every single mantra he was saying as being wrong. And then Krishna, the little voice within my mind said, "Wait a second. You're also supposed to be chanting Hare Krishna. You're in line. Why are you wasting your time criticizing how he's chanting? Why don't you spend a little time trying to chant nicely yourself?" So then I stopped listening to him chanting, and then I started listening to myself chanting, and I started to realize a little bit that maybe I should be serving him somewhere or another. And then I remember leaving, this is in Mayapur, his room, and I walked out downstairs from the Lotus Building. I was walking outside, and suddenly Mayapur became Vaikuntha. I was actually in something that looked like the actual Mayapur for a few seconds. Then I realized that that was the first time I was in Mayapur, and it's probably the last time since then I was in Mayapur. At least I realize, you know, Krishna is going to reciprocate according to our actual attitude, according to our actual determination to serve him. We have an opportunity to actually enter into the spiritual world. It's not limited by any material qualification. It's simply limited to our actually taking the instruction seriously and following it. And if we're having difficulty, if we're faced with a lot of obstacles, everything seems to be going wrong. And that's very good. It's a great opportunity to show a little sincerity. Otherwise, when things are going too nicely, we become complacent. And we get puffed up, thinking I'm actually doing quite well. But in the spiritual world, no one thinks they're doing well, especially the most advanced devotees. As they said, the cowherd boys, the men there in the spiritual world, they think Krishna loves me. Krishna loves me the most. But the most advanced devotees, the gopis, they think, I haven't done anything so far to serve Krishna. But I'm completely unqualified. Somewhere or another, Krishna seems to have accepted my service. But actually, I better start getting together if I'm actually going to one day become a servant of Krishna. So that's their mood eternally. It's not that they don't have spontaneous attraction to Krishna and feel the unlimited bliss of Mahabhava, like Shrimati Radharani. But their attitude is I'm completely disqualified. Shrimati Radharani is with Krishna, although her love is unlimited, but she feels many times that I'm only here because the gopis push me forward to do some service to Krishna. So on that behalf, I'm doing a little service. But actually, I'm completely disqualified to do actually any loving service to Krishna. Then my gopi friends, they're actually qualified. So on their behalf, I'll try and do a little service to Krishna. So we feel like disqualified, as Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada once told some of his disciples, they went to him and said, actually, we're chanting so long, and we feel that we haven't really made very much progress, we feel quite disqualified. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, do you actually think like that? And they said, yes. He said, well, that's very good. So we should have that attitude, because otherwise it would be very difficult to make progress. Of course, we should try to make some progress, too, not just have an attitude. And that progress will be made if we study Prabhupada's books, and we try to serve those instructions, and Krishna will give us not only association with himself and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with our disciple succession, Prabhupada, but it will also give us association with everyone else within this movement real association with everyone else within this movement, and ultimately with everyone else, not only in this universe, but with everyone, all the universes. So I'll stop. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.